Is there any way someone could weaponize the bird flu? Is that what we're looking at?
Someone doesn't have to weaponize the bird flu. The birds are doing that.
Now, a number of epidemiologists have said that that movie was not entirely accurate in its depiction of how that sort of thing would work, but that viruses from animals are a very serious threat, and more of them are jumping to people. Dr. Yvette Johnson-Walker studies these kinds of diseases for a career. She's an epidemiologist at the University of Illinois, and tonight, March the 7th, she is going to be speaking at the College of Veterinary Medicine on a panel about global health risks. So tell me a bit about what you do.
I'm a clinical epidemiologist, and really I study transmission of disease between people and animals and looking at ways that we can try to prevent that transmission from occurring.
So you're part of this panel that's happening on Thursday. What are you going to be talking about?
I'm going to be talking about some emerging diseases that people can be exposed to right here at home. I think there is a tendency for people to assume that when we talk about emerging infectious diseases that you have to travel to some exotic land and spend time in the rainforest somewhere. But actually, there are risks that can happen right here in our own backyard. My segment of the talk will be focusing on four diseases in particular, two of which that primarily occur in the western United States, and then two others from which we've had cases right here in Illinois.
So let's talk a bit about those four diseases. I saw the list here, and I'll read it back to you. It's tularemia, is that right?
Yes, tularemia, commonly known as rabbit fever. That's a disease that's transmissible to people most often from exposure either to rabbits that are infected with it or to ticks that have bitten infected rabbits. And most recently, we've had cases identified in seven different cats from three households in Savoy and a household in Champaign and one in Urbana, where they were able to diagnose tularemia in their cats. And so the people who own those cats then were at risk of being exposed to it.
So if I, just to make sure I get the chain right, this disease is starting in rabbits, it's jumping to cats, and then it could possibly jump to people?
Yes, potentially, either from contact with rabbits or with ticks that have bitten the rabbits. We'll typically see cases occurring twice a year, once in the early winter, and that's associated with rabbit hunting season. So people that are rabbit hunters who may be hunting rabbits and preparing carcasses have the potential to be exposed if they are handling rabbits that have the disease. The other rising cases that we sometimes see is in the summer, and that's more associated with insect-borne spread. Ticks and deer flies that may have bitten rabbits that are affected can then transmit the disease to people when they bite people.
So what are the effects of tularemia? Why should we be worried about this?
Tularemia can cause a severe infection. It's a bacterial disease that can cause organ damage and make people fairly ill. Usually it only takes a very small number of organisms to cause disease, and so that's one of the reasons we worry about it. It causes a pneumonia in people, and so what's actually recommended is that if you are exposed, if, say, your cat is diagnosed with tularemia, then people who own that cat and have close contact with it are actually usually treated with antibiotics prophylactically to make sure they don't get the disease because it is so easily transmissible.
So you mentioned tularemia is kind of one of the big diseases you've been studying in Champaign County. What's the other one?
One of the other concerns we have really in Illinois is a rise in incidence of Rocky Mountain spotted fever. And they've seen quite a few cases, particularly in the southern portion of the state. And over the past 7 years or so, they've seen a rising incidence in cases. Over last year, they reported approximately 50 cases of Rocky Mountain spotted fever
wow.
in people. And again, that's another one that is spread potentially by ticks. And so simply walking your dog in an area that's got ticks or being hiking in an area where there are ticks where you're exposed gives you the potential for being exposed to Rocky Mountain spotted fever. And again, that can be a very severe illness, and we've actually had some fatalities in Illinois associated with it.
How do you know that you have these things? I mean, what are kind of the telltale signs that you're dealing with an animal that has one of these diseases or that you might have come down with it as opposed to something like a bad flu or, you know, another type of virus?
Well, I think that's one of the challenges, is that in early cases, most of these diseases present with an influenza-like illness, and so the signs can be difficult to diagnose. What tends to happen, however, is some of them, people tend to develop a characteristic rash in addition to the influenza-like illness, or they'll develop a pneumonia that really becomes much more severe, so it's more of a downward progression. But one of the reasons I hope to increase awareness is so that people understand that if they have engaged in activities or been in areas where these diseases are occurring, if they develop an illness, don't delay to seek medical attention. Seek medical attention as early as possible. As people encroach onto wildlife habitats and areas, even just suburban sprawl into forested areas, we increase our opportunities for exposure to diseases that may have a reservoir in the wildlife population. I think it's unlikely that we're going to see large epidemics or pandemics of these diseases, partly because of increased awareness, diagnosis, testing, and control measures that we can put into place.
Should we just not trust animals? Is that kind of one of the morals of these stories?
Quite the opposite. I'm a veterinarian. I have a dog. I have a cat. I think animals bring a lot of positives to our lives, but I think we also need to recognize that we're sharing the same environment. They can often be the sentinels for what's going on. And so your dog may perhaps be much more likely to be exposed to ticks carrying Rocky Mountain spotted fever than you are. If your dog is at risk, then you are too. And so I think the issue is that those things that our pets may be exposed to are also things that we're exposed to. We need to monitor the health in both, looking at what's happening in our pets, knowing that there were cases of tularemia in cats should be an alert then for physicians to look for potential cases of tularemia in people, because we are sharing the same environment.
Well, Dr. Johnson Walker, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you.
Dr. Yvette Johnson Walker teaches at the veterinary school here at the University of Illinois, and she's part of a panel tonight about global health risks that's taking place at the College of Veterinary Medicine at 7 o'clock.
WILL programs are made possible by Hendrick House at Green and Lincoln, 3 blocks from the Engineering Quad. Hendrick House rooms are large, carpeted, and air-conditioned with semi-private baths. Meals are served in its Gold LEED certified dining area. More information is available at hendrickhouse.com.
In China, pirated Western TV shows are providing fodder for English students looking to hone translation skills.
In my group, there are probably 6 or 7 people doing the same episode, so it's go pretty fast.
Some students say they're learning about democracy along the way. That story later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 4 to 7 on AM 580 and from 5 to 7 on FM 90.9.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 7th of March, 2013. It's the birthday of the songwriter Townes Van Zandt, born 1944, into a wealthy oil family in Texas, died in 1997 at the age of 53. It's the birthday of the novelist Robert Harris, Nottingham, England, 1957, author of Fatherland, Archangel, and other novels, who said, "I think a novel is like a car, and if you buy a car and grow flowers in it, you're forgetting that the car is designed to take you somewhere else." 1994, on this day, the Supreme Court ruled that parody can be protected by the Fair Use Clause of the Copyright Act of 1976. 1857, on this day, the National Association of Baseball Players met in New York, and they decided that a baseball game should be made up of 9 innings instead of 21 runs. It's the anniversary of the Civil Rights March from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama, 1965. 600 civil rights activists left Selma to march 54 miles to the state capitol. They only got 6 blocks before state and local lawmen attacked them with dogs and billy clubs and tear gas. They made it to Montgomery 2 weeks later, and by the time they got there, they were 25,000 strong. And it's the birthday of Bret Easton Ellis, born in Los Angeles 1964, best known for his novel American Psycho, 1991, written from the perspective of a Wall Street yuppie serial killer, a novel that was condemned by the National Organization of Women and dropped by its first publisher, which guaranteed its commercial success. Here's a poem for today by Faith Sheeran, entitled Turtle in the Road. It was the spring before we moved again, a list of what we must do on the refrigerator when my daughter and I found a turtle in the road. He was not gentle or shy, not properly afraid of the cars that swerved around his mistake. I thought I might encourage him towards safety with a stick, but each time I touched his tail, he turned fiercely to show me what he thought of my prodding. He had a raisin head, the legs of a fat dwarf, the tail of a dinosaur. His shell was a deep green secret he had kept his whole life. I could not tell how old he was, but his claws suggested years of reaching. I was afraid to pick him up, afraid of the way he snapped his jaws, but I wanted to help him return to the woods, which watched him with an ancient detachment. I felt I understood him, because I didn't want to move either. I was tired of going from one place to another, the introductions, the goodbyes. I was sick of getting ready, of unpacking, of mail sent to places where I used to live. At last, I put my stick away and left him to decide which direction was best. If I forced him off the road, he might return later. My daughter and I stood a while, considering him. He was a traveler from the time of reptiles, a creature who wore his house like a jacket. I don't know if he survived his afternoon on the road. I'm still thinking of the way his eyes watched me go. I can't forget his terrible legs, so determined to take him somewhere, his tail, which pointed behind him at the dark spaces between the trees. Turtle in the Road, a poem by Faith Sheeran from Moving the Piano, published by Steve.